Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be discussing key market themes and a number of UK equities, with this week a particular focus on commodities and a number of companies mining and exploring for the commodities we're going to discuss. And to do that, we have with us, kindly, Alan Green. Alan, thank you very much for being here today.
Hello again, John.
So, Alan, we've been digesting, obviously, the awful events in Ukraine over the past week. And we've just been looking over the last few days, really, at, you know, sanctions coming in and real world implications for markets now starting to play out. Of course, what's happening in Ukraine is a tragedy, and we're seeing, you know, further sanctions coming in, as there should be, on Russia, and that's having big implications on the commodity markets, and that's something that we're going to focus on today. So market participants and anyone following the market will be aware of what happened with nickel yesterday, Alan. We saw on the LME, I mean, we hear of stocks being suspended. Of course, you have certain fail stops in the London Stock Exchange, you know, stocks going into auction, and you can have shares suspended. But for having an entire market suspended on the London Metal Exchange is a huge piece of news, and that's obviously a dramatic event there. I mean, when we're looking at that, we're obviously looking at prices of nickel. There was a big short squeeze, and you know, people following it will be able to see that it was a Chinese tycoon, for some reason, had a big short on nickel, and you're scratching your head as to why, given the demand for battery metals at the moment. But he's suffering multi-billion dollar losses, and I'm sure there's been some very frank conversations between him and the LME over the past 24 hours. But, and now looking at, you know, what this means for, you know, the wider investor community and also people in the real world, having metals such as nickel go to such high levels, and of course it's happening in oil. I mean, that's one that we'd have to mention as well, but that's been well covered, and you know what that's doing to household bills. But you know, this is maybe going underneath the radar to some extent, because you're looking at, you know, the focus on energy costs, and there's been a story about inflation for some time now. But if we're starting to look at prices of nickel, and there has been a, you know, strong rally in nickel and lithium and other metals that are used in the production of automotives and, of course, EVs. Is this really going to start following through now and hitting car manufacturers that are obviously still producing, you know, petrol and diesel engines around the world? Is this really going to start to bite on the economy? And are we sort of in now for a really sort of depressed time in the economy? Is everything from cars, food, to your energy bills starts to inflate at a rate that you know, really gets beyond the affordability of everyday households?
Yeah, absolutely. And the ramifications of these sanctions will be long, and they will be lasting. But of course, what we're seeing in the immediate term are these incredible price spikes in raw commodities such as nickel. And I mean, you know, to hit, it's hit £76,000 sterling per ton, or $100,000. It passed $100,000 per ton, and driven by, as you mentioned, you know, the Chinese short seller, you know, buyers racing to cover short positions. But of course, nickel just has so many applications. It's crucial in batteries, in modern lithium ion batteries. And that, of course, includes the EV market, clean technology, a whole raft of stuff. And the thing is, of course, with the Russian sanctions, that means that all of the nickel and metals that Russia produces can no longer be exported to pretty well the rest of the world. So, of course, that's produced a massive short squeeze. And I think, just referring back to a point I made a couple of weeks ago, John, we were talking about comments from Elon Musk pointing to where he'd like to see production in a few years. So if they're producing 20 million cars, if they were producing 20 million Teslas per annum, that would then take up 30% of current global nickel production. So that's just Tesla. You then take into account all the other EV manufacturers. Basically, even with what's being produced, there simply is not enough. And this is going to become a huge problem. So, of course, you then get the price squeeze that's come about as a result of Russia being no longer able to export nickel. And the effect is obvious. And of course, we're going to be talking about Kavango Resources in a minute, which is a company that has an asset that's very similar to the Norilsk mine, mining center in Siberia. It accounts for 90% of Russia's nickel reserves, 55% of its copper, and pretty well all of its platinum group metals. So at a stroke, you take that out of the market. You know, I'm not surprised we're seeing this price squeeze, and I think it's going to, the ramifications are going to become even greater. But of course, conversely, what it does, it creates opportunities for companies that are in the process of developing assets, nickel assets, such as Kavango. So of course, we're going to see many more price squeezes. We're looking at growth in some of the Asian nations now being capped as a result of the price of the sanctions on Russia. Companies no longer able to import materials and goods from Russia, and of course there are the issues of wheat and corn. Some of Africa, I think, imports pretty well all of Russia's wheat exports. So of course the commodities like wheat and corn on the market will be hit as well. So the ramifications are huge, and we're only just starting to see how that's actually feeding into global markets.
So you mentioned there Kavango, and that's the first equity we're going to discuss. Looking at the chart here, Alan, now, of course, they have a significant exposure to nickel, as you just outlined, but investors may be looking at the share price and a little bit perplexed, because we're, of course, seeing the price of nickel go through the roof. And of course, this is through a period of severe volatility. So, you know, this could go one way or the other going forward in terms of the nickel price. But we're just looking at Kavango share price here. And so it's only got a market cap at the moment of about 13 million, but it's had a bit of a downtrend over the last week or so. Although that it is focusing on these metals and these things, and these mines that they're going to be producing and servicing the EV market now at much higher prices. What do you feel the thinking is there behind the market sending that the shares lower at a time that their offtake would be attracting, you know, obviously when they get to production, would be attracting a much higher level than it was, you know, a month ago, for example?
Well, there's the old saying in the markets, isn't there, John, that that the markets can remain irrational for longer than you can remain solvent. And I think we're seeing a classic case in point here. But of course, what you've got to remember is that companies that actually have producing assets, of course, those are the ones that will be seeing the increase in prices. Even though Kavango has this asset, it's still some years away from going into production. And whilst it will contribute to future production, of course, at the moment, it's at a very early stage in terms of its evolution. So the disconnect that we're seeing is probably the market looking at assets that can produce and driving those prices higher. But certainly the exploratory companies, until they take a tangible step forward, and I think this applies to an awful lot of small cap mining companies, until you actually see the color of the metal come out of the ground, along with the numbers, the actual mineral resource estimates, it's very hard to put an accurate valuation on them. Nonetheless, we know with Kavango, it's got has the nickel asset, it's got the copper assets too. So I've no doubt that will come in time. And what it does mean is that for patient investors, you can pick up a company like this at this knockdown price, knowing full well that if as all of the research that's been undertaken, all of the data that's come back from the spectral geophysics, everything that's come back bears out that asset and proves up that asset, then of course you're going to be sitting on a potential multi-bagger for the future. And of course that's why all of us get excited about small cap mining stocks like Avanga.
Indeed. So I mean, just want to go back to the bigger picture here, because it isn't, as you said, it's not just Avanga, there's lots of companies here. Is it because you're looking at some of these companies, and do you think it's them purely being placed in the basket of being a risk asset? You know, if you make a comparison between, you know, Kavango and Rio Tinto, for example, you know, Rio Tinto has had a very strong performance during this period because it is producing, it is generating revenue. Is it simply the case that these companies, and there's probably a few other that we might discuss a little bit later on the podcast, fall into this basket of, yes, the potential is huge, but however, at this point in time, they're simply classed as a small cap junior explorer, and they really just fall into that basket of being a risk asset, along with, you know, certain other equities, indeed some commodities, and you know, Bitcoin maybe as well, that they are speculative, and in times of high volatility and concern, they're just going to get hit, whatever's happening to the underlying price of the resources they're exploring for.
Yeah, I believe that is the case, Jonathan, certainly. But also another company we're going to discuss on it, Greatland Gold. We've seen the journey that company's taken. You know, once the asset was discovered, the Haveran asset, it multi-bagged many times over. And of course, if you were in at the start when the company had a valuation of 5, 10, 15 million, then, you know, a modest investment there would deliver a very spectacular return. So that's the opportunity. That's the potential. And of course, now the market knows Greatland has the Haveran asset with all that entails. There's a value. There's a finite time frame too, in terms of getting the stuff out of the ground, getting it to market. And this I believe is, you know, the market's looking at where it can actually obtain nickel, copper, gold, etc. right now. You know, what's near to production? Where can we go and get this stuff now? And that's what it's doing. The smaller cap companies that are developing these projects, as soon as significant developments occur, then yes, they will move ahead. There's no doubt. And, you know, you've only got to look at Greatland to see how that process works.
Indeed. Indeed. So we're going to discuss Greatland. But just before we move on from Kavango, would you be able to just give us a brief overview of their operations? We obviously spoke about the share price, how it's moving, and what they're doing. But for investors that may not have an intimate knowledge of what they're doing on the ground, can you just get a brief overview of what they're actually doing and their operations there?
Yes, of course, John. Yeah. So, Kavango updated this morning on the what it refers to as the KSZ. The KSZ is it's the Kalahari Sutor Zone in the Kalahari Desert, obviously. And the company has identified a series of targets there. Now, over the past few years, the former CEO, Michael Foster, headed up a team that developed a huge model. And there's a huge 3D model on the website that you can see of the KSZ, what it entails, where the magnetic anomalies are, where the drill targets are. And obviously now the company has the team out there on the ground. They're drilling and they're developing the asset. The comparisons all the way through, you know, for the past few years have been made with the Norilsk mine in northeastern Russia, in Siberia, simply because the geology is very similar. The setting, the magmatic sulfides at Norilsk are also a key feature of the Kalahari Sutor Zone. So, but of course, developing the KSZ into a Norilsk will take many years. Nonetheless, the company's identified on the B1 target area a great red spot, which is a large-scale 5 kilometer by 8 kilometer magnetic and gravity anomaly. So you can get some idea of the scale of this. I mean, the KSZ area is some 8,800 square kilometers. It's absolutely huge. So of course they're working. The company's got 14 licenses over 450 meters a 450-kilometer long KZ magnetic anomaly. So it's only exploring a fraction of the area at the moment. But of course, the drilling's got to take place, the modeling's got to take place, further drill targets will be identified, and the asset will come to light. And then, of course, a maiden resource estimate can be provided. And then, of course, that's the value inflection point where we're going to see the proper value in the market attributed to the KZ. Kavango is not a one-trick pony by any stretch, though. That's a flagship project. It also has the two projects in the Kalahari Copper Belt, one of which is a joint venture with Power Metal Resources. And indeed, the recent work that was undertaken there revealed some very strong copper anomalies in the area. Also has a joint venture on the Ganzi Ridge with LVR Geo Explorers, and that is also developing too. So it has exposure to significant copper assets. And thirdly, there is the Ditao Camp project, which was drilled in the 1970s by Falconbridge Mining, and identified a number of carbonatites, which are prospective have in place a number of magnetic ring structures, which are prospective for rare earth elements. Again, Ditao Camp and the Kalahari Copper Belt are in the Kanyi Resources joint venture with Power Metal Resources. So those projects are developing. We're going to get more news from those projects as the year progresses. But certainly the KZ is the focus at the moment. Of course, with a focus on nickel, I think the company will prioritize that throughout the year. Price-wise, yeah, as you say, the price has come back recently. And again, it's just based on, I think, you know, when you're a mining exploration company, the old saying for investors is it's better to travel than to arrive. So you've got the expectation of good results. And even if those results come in where they're expected, then often people will just sell out on that and decide to buy back in later on. Shares have been as high as 6.5p, low as 2.7p. They're currently trading just above 3p, as I say, giving it a market capitalization of 13 million.
Fantastic. So, you know, as you outlined there, Alan, you know, it is one that's going to have a number of developments going forward this year, and investors that are interested in Kavango are probably going to have you know, a number of RNSs to digest as things go forward. But certainly, with a market cap of just 13 million, one has to question as soon as we get anything tangible you know, giving any insight into the future value of their resources there on top of what they already have, that's going to be something that could get this share price moving in the right direction from an investor standpoint. So, Alan, let's now move on to Greatland Gold. We obviously touched on it earlier on in the podcast, but it seems to have sprung back into life in the last few days. Of course, we've now seen gold, and this is something we touched on a recent podcast about how gold had been range bound for some time, so going back 18 months. But we've just seen gold, you know, break significantly above the $2,000 level. So that seems to have breathed a little bit of life back into Greatland Gold. And of course, we had some results last week, which we'll go through. But before we do that, Alan, obviously we're looking now at a share price, you know, just beneath 20p on Greatland Gold. And actually, you mentioned just then, you know, a very good phrase, you know, it's better to travel than to arrive. And we had a situation where there was a big hype around Greatland, and we saw shares trading above 30p briefly. I mean, what's it going to take for this company to get back to those sort of levels? Or was that just a real move up based on hype around what was happening there, which then had a bit of a disconnect from the fundamentals? And is it a case now that investors know that what's in the ground, but that excitement isn't there anymore because, you know, we've obviously seen the discoveries and we're obviously going through the grades, and that sort of impetus to be in something that could have a discovery is now diminished because it's coming out with good grades, and, you know, maybe investors are looking elsewhere at the moment.
I think that's very true, and it's amazing, really, isn't it, that we're in this situation. I mean, Greatland has, of course, it made the Havieran discovery in 2018, and made a lot of retail investors very rich in the process, because it multi-bagged literally all the way up to a market valuation, I think, at $1.2 billion. Of course, the company's currently got a market capitalization of $645 million. So compared to the days back in 2016-17 of 10, 15 million market cap, 25 million market cap, you know, that's a huge jump. But I suspect a lot of the investors were in it for the ride, would have made a lot of money, and are now looking at Havieran. Well, it's going to produce gold. That's great. Maybe they've kept a stake in the company, but of course, attracting new investors in and trying to impress on new investors that the same story could happen again is difficult. But what it does do, of course, you know, the additional valuation of the company means the company can get engaged in other assets. But by the looks of it, you know, the Havieran discovery is such an incredible discovery, and I think it actually won an award. The company won an award, the 2021 Commodity Discovery Award, on the back of just how amazing Havieran is. Of course, the most recent update was a few days ago, where the company updated on the further drilling work that had taken place at the Southeast Crescent, and also across the broad Havieran breccia system, to look at the best way to mine the stuff and get it under the ground. Of course, a mine is being built. At the point that the discovery is made, a joint venture with Newcrest Mining, you know, the huge mining conglomerate down there. So, of course, Newcrest is providing all of the mining resource and equipment to get the stuff out of the ground. But the drilling work, as it's continued, it's basically doubled the mineral resource estimate over the past 10 months. It's risen by 50%, up to 6.5 million ounces of gold equivalent, you know, which is pretty impressive. And it also appears that there's an awful lot more to come, because the anomalies they're discovering at Havieran seem to be branching off here and there. There are also other works taking place in the Paterson region, Canning and Paterson South. They've discovered gravity anomalies there, which are similar to the Telfer and Winu mines. Of course, Winu run by Rio Tinto. And of course, Power Metal Resources have the FDR project, the FDR project in the region too. And they have an asset there. They're in the Paterson province, and also have discovered a magnetic anomaly. So that could be very exciting for Power Metal. Of course, Power Metal still has a valuation of just 18 million odd, with 14 different projects around the world, which is even more astonishing. But that's for another day. There's also another joint venture with Newcrest at the Jury, asset. Drill results there have shown some gold grades, and also conductors have been identified. So Greatland certainly has a good number of assets that it's developing, but it also has the resource now to get involved with other potentially great assets that might come its way. But of course, it's hard for a company. It's if you make the discovery, it's easier for a company to go from a 10 or 20 million market cap up to a half a billion market cap or a billion market cap. But it's a lot harder for a company with a half billion market cap to make that jump, especially in the mining game. But, you know, the company's got a great track record. Sean Day, the CEO there, is doing a great job. So given where gold is now, and given that we're getting closer to getting gold out of the ground at Havieran, then, I think the further down the share price drifts, the better value it looks.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I think there is an argument, as you just mentioned there, Alan, as soon as we start to move towards getting out of the gold out of the ground, you know, that's when I think the next stage of Greatland Gold comes, and that's when you probably get a new wave of investors coming in and looking at what that means for the company going forward. So definitely an interesting one to watch and indeed to see whether it can get above 20p and stay there for a good period of time. So just finishing off now, Adam, we're going to be looking at a company we've discussed on the podcast as it IPO'd last year, I believe. It's Technology Minerals. And given what's been happening with some of these battery metals out there, they're, of course, operating in a very favourable environment with some of their exploration projects. So what's the latest update from them?
Okay, so we heard from Technology Minerals this morning that they had taken the decision to acquire the Blackbird Creek property, and I'll come onto that announcement in a second. But yeah, the company is currently trading at 3.5p. It's got a market capitalization of about 35 million, and it's the first circular economy company to list in London, and it's the first circular economy company for battery metals. In that it's developing a series, battery recycling plants in the Midlands. It has a lead acid battery recycling plant and a lithium ion battery recycling plant. And of course, there's no real structure in place at the moment for actually dealing with battery waste and recycling battery waste. So what the company have done, they came to market with a blueprint to do that, which is now being discussed with huge companies that consume batteries, you know, such as electric vehicle manufacturers and governments around the world, to putting forward this blueprint to develop the asset. And certainly in at the Tipton recycling plant, if you look on the Technology Minerals Twitter feed, you'll see several interviews recently looking at the battery metals industry, but also some drone footage of the plants, some of the equipment's arriving, and the actual production process is now in place, ready to recycle those batteries. And of course, in the case of lithium-ion batteries, once they're recycled, you're left with a black mass, and that black mass can then go back into the next generation of lithium-ion batteries. And it sells for getting off of £5,000 a tonne. So there's a lot of money to be made from that. Technology Minerals laid out a financial forecast based on turnover for the next 5 years. That's on the website. I'm not going to go into that now, because I want to discuss the mining development this morning. But there are already multiple partnership agreements in place, and we're going to see an awful lot more developing from the battery recycling centres in the West Midlands in the coming weeks and months. But the circular economy company, the other side of that is the company's exposure to a series of mining assets worth about estimated to be worth some 20 million sterling at present. Assets in Spain, in Idaho, and Cameroon and Ireland are in place for, and these are assets which are prospective for cobalt, for copper, and for lithium. This morning, the company announced the acquisition of the Blackbird Creek project, which has 158 load claims covering just over 3,000 acres, and it's located immediately southeast of Gervais Mining's Idaho cobalt operations, which is going to be up and running this year, and will be the first mining or the first cobalt mine in the USA for decades. So, of course, given that the claims are contiguous at Blackbird Creek, this could be a very valuable and fast track add-on for the company in terms of bringing battery metals out of the ground, putting them into the cycle, and then, of course, at the other end, they go to be recycled at the Tipton plants or wherever the other plants might be that Technology Minerals have at that point. So this is a significant step. The focus certainly since IPO has been on developing the battery recycling plants, but now we're seeing developments on the mining front, and it's a very exciting company, and I think we're going to see an awful lot of development and growth this year. It already has an agreement in place with Slicker Recycling to recycle many thousands of batteries per annum, and there are going to be a number of other recycling joint ventures coming up in the next few months. Of that, I have no doubt at all. So very exciting step forward. Of course, the team that run the company, Alex Stanbury, chief executive, he's very much focused on the mining part of the business. Robin Brundle, the chairman, of course, he's well known throughout the motorsports industry. He's very much focused on the battery recycling industry, and he's certainly the one that's pioneering those talks for the battery recycling with governments around the world, and of course the automotive industry. So a very exciting year in prospect. Shares have come back a little bit. I mean, since IPO, they've hit a high of 5.5p, currently up today trading at 3.4p. It's a good entry point, and I think this company is going to deliver in bucketfuls during 2022.
Fantastic. Thank you, Alan. So just looking, and you mentioned there the current price. So what do you think it's going to take to get Technology Minerals back up to that IPO price around 5p? Do you think, obviously, there's been a number of announcements they've made recently. Do you think it's a case that the investors are simply waiting for them to see some of these projects come to fruition and start to see some revenue coming into the business and what that revenue looks like?
Yeah, well, the IPO price was 3.2p, just over 3p, but it hit that high of 5p. To my mind, I believe the company is about to bring the recycling plants online. We've seen the drone work down there. And of course, as soon as they come online, the cash coffers start to fill. The company's forecast 9.6 million turnover this year. That forecast was put out to the markets prior to IPO, and I think a small loss of 300,000, obviously, as the capex is undertaken, and then moving to profit next year, 5.2 million profit and turnover of 28.5 million. So to my mind, the turnover of the company, I'm sure, you know, once we see these plants up and running, people, of course, can then go and see the plants in action. I'm sure that'll happen too. And I'm sure then we're going to see that process replicated, more plants open. And then, of course, you can see how the exponential growth will be delivered from there.
Yes, it's going to be interesting to see how they perform. Obviously, it's always very difficult with a new company coming to market and putting out targets in their first year, how operations actually unfold. But that's going to be particularly exciting to see when we get updates from Technology Minerals in the coming months. So just to recap there, of the equities we discussed today was Kavango Resources with a ticker of KAV. It was then, of course, Greatland Gold, which has a ticker of GGP, and just then was Technology Minerals with a ticker of TM1. And of course, we did touch on very briefly there on ECR Minerals in close vicinity of Greatland, as well as Power Metal Resources with a ticker of POW that has a relationship with Kavango Resources. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thanks, John.
So we obviously just been discussing in some detail there commodities. Anyone that missed the Metals and Mining Conference that happened a couple of weeks ago, do check out the UK Investor Magazine video section, because there's a good few presentations there from metals and mining company operating in some of these commodities that we've discussed today as well. So thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.